Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Anne Savoie is a singer of French songs and an ambassador of Cajun music. Born in Richmond, Virginia, she arrived in southwestern Louisiana more than 40 years ago by way of Paris.
I just love the French language so much, and there wasn't that much of it in Virginia, clearly. And when I heard Cajun music, I just was like, well, wait a minute, this is American? This is people in America that speak French and sing music in French?
Of course, there was a French-speaking man involved. Accordionist Marc Savoie proved irresistible.
When I walked up to Marc, he was looking at me and he said, t'es picassé comme un œuf de dinde, which means you are freckled like a turkey egg. I was like, whoa, this guy knows how to charm a girl.
Anne Savoie, an Américaine in the Cajun Prairie. After the break. Anyone who loves Louisiana music owes Anne Savoie a thank you note, and maybe more. Savoie was not born in Louisiana, and she's not a Cajun. But her life's work has been to study the music of southwestern Louisiana and communicate its magic to anyone who'll listen. She's a recording artist, a scholar, a journalist, and a broadcaster. But she may be best known for her longtime work as a singer and guitarist in a variety of family bands, including the Savoie Doucet Band, with the lovely and talented fiddler Michael Doucet, and her husband, the equally lovely and talented accordionist Marc Savoie. He's the Cajun who lured her from Virginia more than 40 years ago. Anne Savoie's most popular recordings to date are with her friend and frequent collaborator Linda Ronstadt. But in recent years, she's also performed and recorded with the Magnolia Sisters and another outfit called Anne Savoie and Her Sleepless Nights. Savoie is in demand, which makes it extra wonderful that she joins us at the studios of KRVS here in Lafayette. So happy to see you.
Well, what a treat to be here, Gwen. I'm so glad we finally got this together and we're here visiting.
It's true. You have been gallivanting. You've been gallivanting around the world, actually. But for the purposes of our coming together, I'm hoping to put you to work immediately, which means can you give us a song?
Well, I'll try. I must say I'm a little intimidated because normally I have all these amazing musicians playing with me. And I'm just there singing. Let's see what I could do. I've been trying for a long, long time, but no matter what I do, when I turn stays behind, 'cause I can't get over you. I keep moving on, running hard and fast, but everywhere that I run, living in the past, 'cause I can't get old. If memories were like the leaves that fall, the wind would the seasons pass and they never change. A broken heart can't keep time.
faded in the sun. The colors of my love stay true. I'm letting go now. I'm not holding on, 'cause I can't get.
That was beautiful.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you. I love that song. I mean, the lyrics are obviously quite moving, but the way you sing it, it makes a case for the joy of listening to something that is simply told, but told in such a humane way.
Oh, thank you so much. I guess I've just always wanted to talk to people as if it was me talking and try to draw a little emotion out, but I've never wanted to be anything other than who I was when I was singing. I want to really just talk to people, you know? And I guess that's sort of my process when I'm going through songs.
But the thing is, I mentioned earlier that you were lured to the state of Louisiana from Virginia.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it's not as if you came to Louisiana looking for deep culture because you were coming from a place that didn't have deep culture. Virginia has some of the deepest culture. I mean, this is where, you know, the Carter family comes from. This is where Bascom Lunsford, you know, I mean, ranged all those years ago, the great musicologists and performers. And so tell us a little bit about growing up in Virginia and becoming aware of its musical tradition.
Virginia is so old, and I think that has had a huge impact on my life. I was raised among families that had been from Virginia and North Carolina since like the 1600s. And we had very old furniture. I remember that. Wax. I'd smell this lemon wax and this beautiful old wooden furniture in my house and the flowers that are from Virginia, like forsythia everywhere and magnolias. And I don't know, the music, you know, the music permeates the land. Now, I was not so much from a rural area. So, you know, the Carter family and all the geniuses that came from Virginia like that, I adore them. But that wasn't the kind of music that I was particularly exposed to in my childhood until later. But
so you grew up in Richmond, is that right?
In Richmond, yeah.
Yeah. So what was playing back when you were, you know,
my parents were kind of what you might call sophisticated Virginians. And, you know, they played Frank Sinatra, classical music, Billie Holiday. Actually, they played Al Hurt and Pete Fountain and Dixieland jazz and things like that.
This thing last, but the age of miracles, it hadn't passed. For suddenly I saw you standing right there, and in foggy London town, the sun was shining, 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 shining everywhere.
If you mind, I would live for your love alone. To kneel at your shrine, I would give up all that I own. Yes, even my heart, even my life, I'd trade it all for you. And think I was lucky too, if you were mine.
It wasn't any country music in our house at all. I never heard country music.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then I guess when I got to be 12, the folk tradition was everywhere. You know, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Joan Baez, who I just was blown away by all of them, and they would pass through on tours down the East Coast a lot. I got to see them a lot. And then the Beatle invasion, you know, just typical East Coast kid. Then I lived in Paris, which I believe was the link, you know, between Virginia and Louisiana for me.
Well, okay, before we get you to Paris, though, tell us about your parents. How'd they acquire all this old furniture?
I don't know. That's a very interesting story. My grandmother, as a young woman, married an older, wealthy man who was one of the officers of Hanes Underwear.
No
yeah.
way.
Yes, in Winston-Salem. Isn't that insane? And so he gave his beautiful young wife a giant allowance every month. So she would scan the countryside. You know, she'd drive around and buying antiques, you know. And so she got all this, like, 1700s North Carolina furniture. And then my mother married my father, and he had all the beautiful furniture. And,
presto changeo.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the enrichment of living amongst beautiful wooden things, you know.
It's true. And sort of when you're around it daily, then you sort of grow up learning to have a respect for history almost through osmosis.
You know? It's true. You feel it. And, you know, they were very genteel and Southern Richmond people. And they had these gentle, beautiful accents, and I rarely heard any of my family raise their voices.
Did your mom work outside the house?
No.
Did your dad?
No, mother didn't. She had a degree in art education and interior design, and my dad worked for Central States Paper and Bag Company, and he had a little Porsche, and he would drive around. I'm not sure exactly what he was selling, but he just drove all over in his little Porsche. I remember seeing him head out in his cute little suit to go off and do things.
That's great. And so did you have siblings, or were you an only child?
One sister.
Older or younger?
2 years older than me, and we're very close still. She lives in Minneapolis.
You know, I think that the best musical education you can possibly get is from your older siblings. You know, they are often the ones who introduce you to the music that you ultimately love.
Well, that's great. Very cool you would say that, because I'm left-handed and my sister's right-handed, and she had a guitar. And she had all these old, you know, like records. She had the Beach Boys, the Kingston Trio. And I'd go in a room and listen and try to learn them on her right-handed guitar. And that's how my older sister was responsible for me playing the guitar.
I love it. I love it. And so, Anne, what got you to Paris?
Well, actually, I should tell you, before I went to Paris, when I was very young, my father passed away, and I was like 13 or 14 years old. And so my mother decided to take us on an adventure to live in Switzerland. So we all went and lived over there, and she taught art in a little school for children that had cerebral palsy.
Really?
Yes. And we went to boarding school, and where we learned French. And so when I came home, I found a lovely college called Mary Baldwin College. And it was a woman's college at that time in the mountains of Virginia. And they had a junior year in Paris. And I majored in French. So that got me started. And then once I got into French literature, I was totally smitten. We started reading all the great works in French and lived in Paris, got into the surrealist, you know, got into art.
But it is amazing, though, how this tragedy that you're talking about, the passing of your father, and when you were quite young,
yes,
14, could actually point you in a direction that ended up being your destiny.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And then ultimately that led me to Louisiana, all the French, the link.
After coming back from Paris, you had one of the great sort of movie meet cutes. I love a love story. And so here you are. You're going to meet up with the man who ultimately brought you to Louisiana, Marc Savoie, the great accordionist. Tell us a little bit about your meeting, and who do you think would play you in the movie, and who would play Marc Savoie?
That's a great question. I love that. I mean, you may have to help me with who would play who, but I had these two friends in Richmond. One of them was a Cajun girl, Linda Furman, and her boyfriend, Lynn Abbott, who now works at the Jazz Archive at Tulane, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And his girlfriend, of course, was living in Virginia with him, and she's a Cajun girl. And so when we were all at Wolf Trap, which is near Richmond, she said, "You must meet this Cajun man, Mark Savoy. He's a good friend of mine, and I know you're going to love him." And that changed my life. Thank you, Linda and Lynn. I will say that right now on the radio.
Was there a come on line?
Well, yeah. When I walked up to Mark, he was looking at me, and he said, "Te pica sekel men uftedend," which means you are freckled like a turkey egg. I was like, whoa, this guy knows how to charm a girl.
Hot.
Of course, his tone of voice, he has a beautiful burgundy voice, you know, like this rich, mellow French voice. And he was just great and a wonderful musician. And he didn't speak English at all that day. I thought, this guy can't even speak English. Isn't this amazing?
So I'm going to guess, this is, if I were, you know, the casting god, I would say Anne Savoy, played by Juliette Binoche, okay,
love
who do
that.
Lots of different accents.
Love
She's
it.
Obviously quite beautiful. And then Mark Savoy should be maybe Jean Dujardin, you know, that wonderful French actor who starred in the film The Artist.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, I can sort of see that. I'm going to look at that movie again. It's sort of a similar body type, dashing kind of. I think dashing's a good word for Mark. It's funny, I had a friend here from New York writing an article for Harper's Bazaar about Louisiana, Amy Willans. And when she met Mark, she said, "I'd say Laurence Olivier playing Heathcliff in Wuthering Heights."
Ooh.
That's another good one.
Oh, that is.
He said, "You must come to Louisiana where there's the moss hanging from the trees and the beautiful waterways. We can go fishing and we'll cook by the rivers." I mean, painted this fantasy life vision for me. And Mark's house is in the prairie, and there are a lot of metal buildings. And, you know, it wasn't at all what I expected. But then, interestingly, he said, "I want to show you my grandparents' old house. It's being rented, but, you know, it's in our family." He drove me over there, and it was like a portrait of a house I wrote about in my diary when I was 12 years old.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I said, "I want a white wooden clapboard house with a porch and a white picket fence." And we drove up to this house, and there was the house I had written about at the age of 12 in my journal. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And so eventually we did get that house, in fact, and it's just my little dream house out in the prairie. So
he delivered.
He did. He delivered. He got the house for Annie.
You do a song that's kind of wonderful, actually, with your with Mark Savoy called "I Made a Big Mistake."
Oh, I love that song. Ari Lejeune recorded it, one of the greatest accordion players out of Louisiana, and Mark taught me that song. That was one of the first songs I learned. I made a big mistake, and now by the light of the moon and the light of the sun, I see staring me in my face what a big mistake I made to leave you. So our two voices, I feel, go well together. We actually have recorded other songs together, too, and we're recording some more. Yeah, I love singing with Mark. He doesn't like to sing, and
why?
I just... it's just not something that his family, what part of their tradition, and... But we're talking him into it slowly. Ooh. A little bit.
Well, I have to say, you know, it's very affecting. It's a very delicate style that he has when he plays accordion. It's lovely.
It's precise and has a lot of ornaments, but it's very in the groove. It's tricky. He's a really good accordion player. Thank you.
I've Made a Big Mistake by Anne and Mark Savoy. Coming up, a whole lot of woman with a tiny guitar. Stay tuned. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Happy One Step by the Savoy Doucet Band features our guest, Anne Savoy, on guitar. In 1984, Anne Savoy published an extraordinary book of ethnomusicology that explores some of southwestern Louisiana's deepest roots. Cajun Music, A Reflection of a People, features interviews with musicians who'd been playing since the turn of the last century. Her efforts helped draw attention to artists whose contributions were well known in the region, but less evident to people outside of southwestern Louisiana. After all, fiddle players Dennis McGee and Sadie Corville originally recorded Happy One Step in 1929. Savoy says it took years of effort and all of her people skills to complete the book.
One of the things I did encounter was a little bit of hostility, oddly, because, you know, I was an American coming up knocking on these Cajun people's doors, and they had gotten so much stigmatizing from the Americans in the area, the Cajun people have. And I'm sure at first they were like, well, what do you want? You know, what does a woman like you want with this material? And I said, well, I'm actually married to Mark Savoy. And then they go, oh, Shaq, come on in. You know, it's very, very, they're wary of people stealing from them and, you know, taking advantage of them. And then I do think ultimately they were very thrilled when they saw the product, you know, when they saw all the beautiful pictures of them and a big chunk honoring their lives.
Exactly.
And almost all of them saw it before they died. Now, I have done volume two, and everybody in there has passed away before they saw it, unfortunately, because
no.
I was trying to get people before they died and talk to them. And
yeah, I mean, some of the people you interviewed, I mean, they'd been born in the late 1800s.
Yes.
It was surprising how many of them at some point in their lives had put down their instruments, mm-hmm. you know, and they said, oh, I gave up music. I gave away my instrument.
Being a musician was very looked down upon in the Cajun culture. In fact, nobody would ever say I'm a musician. That was a dirty word.
Mm.
You know, unfortunately, I think when the dance halls came into Louisiana, you know, it had a lot of alcohol and rough behavior and all associated with it. And I think we got radios and then all that. Everybody wanted to be like Bob Wilson, his Texas Playboys, put
like
the accordion
in the
away, wanted to be more American. And then when people came back after World War II, they wanted to hear their good old Cajun music again. They wanted to bring it back.
Anne Savoy, I want to ask you about Sadie Corville. This was an extraordinary story that he told. He was a performer, a fiddler in southwestern Louisiana, and then he gets an opportunity back in 1928 to come to New Orleans and to make some records. He goes to the Roosevelt Hotel, and he says to the people there, the producers there, I'm happy to perform for you, but I'd prefer that my name not be on the record.
I know. It was so crazy because he had a business, a furniture store in Eunice. And to be a respectable businessman in Eunice at that time, you would never connect the fact that you were also a Cajun musician because that had such a stigma attached to it.
I think in the course of that story, he says that maybe they recorded seven songs. On one song, his name appeared. And somebody from the Smithsonian many, many years later mm-hmm. contacted him and, you know what I mean, and helped restore his his history.
Yeah, Dick Spotswood from the Library of Congress came down looking for Dennis McGee and Sadie Corville. They wanted to see who made the 78 records. They were collectors.
Exactly.
So they were re-releasing their material. And so, of course, Sadie Corville became very proud of it at that time. He realized that it was a good thing. And suddenly it was like, oh, darn, I wish I had my name on those records after all. But another thing about what brought a lot of these people back. Dennis McGee, the Hackberry Ramblers, etc., were record people like Chris Rockwitz from Arhuli Records in California, who came looking for the Hackberry Ramblers because he'd heard their record. And he, you know, and he made them, they started playing again. And they all became quite well known and would play all over the world with the national festivals.
Anne Savoie, I mean, you've got a beautiful guitar here. It's gorgeous. Is that Mother of Pearl on the neck?
This guitar is an amazing guitar that Mark gave me. It's a copy of Cleoma Falcon's guitar that's on the cover of the book I wrote. And we cut the picture out and sent it to Martin. They were making custom guitars, and they said, well, that's a Washburn, but we'll make you one just like it. And so it's a total one-of-a-kind custom Martin.
It's beautiful.
It's the Tree of Life and Pearl and Abalone. It's built like an old-fashioned guitar. It has a slotted headstock. It has a pyramid neck and things like that. You know, so it's just an old-timey guitar.
Exactly.
And it's little.
Compact.
I like it. I'm only 5'4", so.
I did want to ask you about Cleoma Falcon and her husband. Did they make the first Cajun recording?
They did. They made the first Allons à Lafayette. It was called Lafayette.
Allons à Lafayette, mais pour y aller, on va t'appeler Madame Canaille.
So taboo for a woman to be in a dance hall. But she was with her husband, and she also recorded a lot with her brothers, the Bro Brothers. But I just love her early recordings. That was one of the things that brought me to Louisiana, was when I heard her singing.
She has to have some spunk, I have to say.
She had a lot of spunk. She was a wild woman, and I like her choice of material.
Let's ask you about Amédée Ardoin, a black man who is or who was sort of one of the founding fathers, really, of Cajun music.
He was a brilliant accordion player, a really great accordion player. And, you know, there were a lot of really great black accordion players at that time, but he just happened to be the one that won the accordion contest and got to record, you know. And here I interviewed a lot of people that knew him, and a lot of the music that the Cajun dance hall repertoire is based on came from his old recordings. All along, there's been a rural black scene that got named Creole music. That was just the nickname, I believe. In fact, even Cajun music was never called Cajun music.
What
until
was it called?
All of that got nicknamed later. It was called French music, all of it. The black music, the white music, French music, French dance tonight. It could be Amédée playing, it could be Joe Falcon playing. It was music in French, and it had an accordion, you know, or it had twin fiddles.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Now, in the cities, this is where Zydeco came from. You know, they had electric instruments and piano key accordions, which Clifton started the piano key accordion thing.
Right, Clifton Chenier. Uh-huh.
But, you know, Mark said everybody was listening to Lawrence Welk. And, you know, black and white, that's their big influences back when TV came in.
From Hollywood, the champagne music of Lawrence Welk.
Anne Savoie, not long ago, you performed on a release that was sort of a tribute to Alan Lomax's field recordings in Louisiana.
Yes.
You know? Well, the name of the album actually is called I Want to Sing Right, Rediscovering Lomax in the Evangeline Country. Now, I can't imagine a prettier song than aux Îles Noires?
Oh, beautiful. You said it very well. Ooh. Yes.
Now tell me, are we talking about the state of Illinois or are we talking about something else?
Yes. Isn't that bizarre? Well, first let me just quickly mention that that CD was produced by my son, Joel Savoie.
Is that right?
And my good friend, Josh Caffrey, who had just come out with a fantastic book about the Lomax songs. And so we found all these old versions and old songbooks of this ballad. It's an old French ballad. And it's about a woman who falls in love with a knight. And she's so beautiful, the knight becomes smitten with her, too. And so she says, take me to your bedroom. And he says, oh, I'm not going to take you to my bedroom until I put a ring of gold on your finger. Well, meanwhile, they're in there making love, and her other boyfriend, this is the words of this song written in, what, 1700, standing at the door hearing all this lovemaking going on, and he's just brokenhearted. So she gives him a bouquet of white jasmine and roses to make him feel better. I'm sure that helped a lot. So apparently he throws the roses down and runs outside with his fist up to heaven saying, oh, God, I'm miserable. I love this woman. And that's the words of the song.
La belle épaisante, un beau bouquet de roses. La belle.
It's almost as if a ballad, a Cajun ballad, can take all the sadness that a human can throw at it.
It's deep. It's yeah. deep. I mean, I find that these people that had to stay tough all week would throw their heart out on the weekend, you know, and 99% of the lyrics are about being brokenhearted.
J'ai sauté d'orange dans la vue au ciel. En disant grand Dieu que je suis un malheureux.
That's Anne Savoie with Aux Îles Noires. Coming up, sometimes it's hard to know where Anne Savoie ends and Linda Ronstadt begins. Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. Our guest this week is Anne Savoie.
Lentement dans le soir, le train s'en va. Sur le quai, son mouchoir s'enfuit déjà. Dans la glace, comme un songe, le mur crie de sa maison.
This is Anne Savoie and her Sleepless Nights with a cover of the Django Reinhardt classic Nuage. Savoie often plays traditional Cajun music around the world with her husband and children, but she's also a fan of the 20th century American and French songbooks. What can we say? She loves love.
Basically, we played jazz standards from the 20s and the 30s, including things by a little bit of Ruth Brown, a little bit of Lulu Barker.
Oh, yes.
I love her. And but we do a lot of Billie Holiday. We do a lot of French jazz. And it's just great musicians, and I get to sing my sultry songs, and it's so much fun.
And the thing is also, you know, on one of your recordings as Anne Savoie and Her Sleepless Nights, you do a duet with Tom Mitchell.
Yes.
Embraceable You, mm-hmm. right? And what's so lovely about it is that he sings his part in English, you sing your part in French.
Yes.
Embrace me, my embraceable you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you.
I love those old jazz standards in French, just like the Cajuns like to do country songs in French.
Ne sois pas si méchante. Viens, mon chouchou, viens. Mon adorable poupée.
Well, do you prefer to sing in French or...
I love singing in both. I'd never had the opportunity to sing in English after I came here. I'd never recorded in English until I met Linda Ronstadt.
I was going to ask you, actually, if you find that the market for music here in this country pressures you to sing in English.
Well, I've never been popular enough to be pressured. No, I've never been in that thing like, you got to get another record out, you got to get on the road. I have had the great pleasure of just being able to do what I wanted almost all of my life. And I have to knock on wood, knock, knock, because that has made me continue to love what I do for so long. And I've always gotten to do exactly what songs I wanted to play because it was not commercial music.
Anne Savoy, I want to ask you about the Magnolia Sisters. Tell us the lineup of the group and how you guys came together.
The Magnolia Sisters came together because my friend Jane Vedrine and I had young daughters, and we would hang around together cooking and singing songs. We were both musicians. We both married Cajun guys. And we both played other things than we played with our husbands. With our husbands, we always played guitars because, you know, they would play accordion. And
you're playing rhythm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I knew how to play the accordion, the fiddle, and other things, and so did she. So we thought, let's make a band where we could play the other things we play and sing the songs we want to do that they don't want to do. And that's how it started. And right now the band is Lisa Traha, Jane Vedrine, Anya Burgess, and me. There have been other people in the band. Christine Balfour was in the band for a while, Deborah Helen Viator, Lisa McCauley, Tina Piglioni, various things, but people would have babies and leave or move or, you know, so this configuration is the actual Magnolia Sisters. And we've had really a lot of interesting things happen to us. Our last two records were nominated for Grammys. We toured Europe a lot. I would say it's our book club. You know, we're a musical book club. We play music. You know, we find songs that have interesting words and old ballads and things like that.
Absolutely. And I just love the fact that you all will perform a cappella. You do a song called Pourquoi Tu M'as Trahi.
Right.
Right? What does that mean?
It means, why did you betray me?
Wow.
And I love the imagery in that song. And it's a woman. She's madly in love with this guy, and she's out in a crowd, and the only thing she could do is she's looking for him with her eyes. And then the next verse, she's sitting on her beautiful terrace where all the flowers are blooming, and she gets a message that this man has left her. He's ditched her, basically. And she's brokenhearted. She's trying to write to him. She's crying on the paper, and every breath, she said, is for you. When the apricots stop bearing fruit, when the roses stop making flowers, when the birds stop singing, that's when I will stop loving you. In other words, I will love you forever. And when you see my coffin and my tomb, you will know that's the only way you will lose my love is when I go to the grave.
Étant couché sur mon lit de douleur, toutes mes regards ne resteront que pour toi. Toutes mes pensées ne resteront que pour toi. Ma dernière soupir ne restera que pour toi. Quand tu entendras sonner ces cloches funèbres, quand tu verras tous ces sièges allumés, tu pourras dire tout est fini pour moi.
De Domatome, je t'aimerai toujours.
It doesn't get any prettier than that.
It's just the ultimate portrait of sorrow.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You know, the kind of music that you sing is music that you can sing for the rest of your life. This is not Janis Joplin, tear your hair out by the roots kind of music. I mean, it's not only wonderful for your voice, but I think it must be wonderful for your life that you can always sing the songs that you sing.
The way I feel life and see it, you know, is not a belty rock and roll person. I want somebody to come close to me and listen to me.
Yes. How did you meet Linda Ronstadt?
Well, a friend of hers that she was dating brought her out. this guy from the Jazz Fest, Quint Davis.
Uh-huh.
And we just hit it off. And then she said, come and stay with me in California. And I'd go out and stay with her at her beautiful mansion. And she'd babysit for my children when we were playing music.
And now, this is in the 80s?
Yeah, this is in the 80s.
Okay, uh-huh.
I did that project Evangeline Made, and it was pop stars doing traditional Cajun music with traditional Cajun musicians. And so she wanted me to sing with her, and so I said, sure, I will. And we love the same songs. We love singing in harmony, and I think our voices really went well together.
You sound like sisters.
I thought so, too. She felt that way. I think we really, I mean, that's a terrible singing partner to lose. You know, with her not singing anymore, I'm brokenhearted because I really love singing with her. And
yes, she no longer sings because of her Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, that woman could sing so many different styles of music.
Unbelievable.
You know, from rock and roll to, you know, big band Nelson Riddle arrangements to Mexican and Latin American music, you know. And when you all sing Adieu, False Heart,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where Linda Ronstadt ends and Annie Savoy begins, which is exactly, I suppose, what you were hoping for.
That's such a compliment when people tell me that, because mm-hmm. she is such an amazing singer.
Adieu, false heart, now we must part. May the joys of the world go with you. I love you long with a faithful heart, but never anymore can I believe you. I've seen the time I'd have married you and been your cause.
Also sisters in musicology, you know,
yes.
Because you're both so curious about music and where it comes from.
It's always been a big subject of our friendship. Like, we share records, we bring songs we want each other to hear, and we actually are sort of, we're in the midst of beginning a radio show together. That's going to be a fun way to continue our musical conversation. But yes, we would always want the same songs. And speaking of, we always wanted sad songs. It almost got funny. I mean, it's sad. We're very happy people, but it was just that those songs are the ways you just want to project emotion.
And when I see the sun points one way, Lord, we used to pass by every day. Just walk away, Renee. You won't see me follow you back home. The empty sidewalks on my block are not the same. Just walk away, Renee.
But, you know, the last time I heard her interviewed, Linda Ronstadt, she said that dealing with her illness, Parkinson's, has been tough because she's not able to perform anymore. But what bothers her the most is that she's not able to sing over the kitchen sink when she's doing dishes.
Yeah. That, I know, in her shower or whatever. I know, just because that was so much a just continuous part of her day. Just that was her work and her life and her entertainment, you know?
Exactly. And yeah. This idea that you're singing for a reason other than commerce.
I find for me, singing is a time of introspection. It's challenging. You're learning things. You're trying to remember lots of lyrics. But it's also therapeutic and, I don't know, it's just comforting. It's like I'll sit there late at night by myself and just play my guitar and sing songs. You know, just it's what musicians do, what singers do.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you've been so generous with us, but of course I'm greedy and I'm going to ask you one more favor, which is, would you like to sing us something that makes you feel good?
Okay, let me think about that. It has to be a sad song. I'm sorry.
Well, the happiness is inferred.
I'm going to do Who Knows Where the Time Goes by Sandy Denny. I love that song. Okay.
Across the evening sky, all the birds are leaving. But then you know it's time for them to go. Beside the evening fire, I will still be dreaming. I do not count the time. Or who knows where the time goes? Where the time goes. A sad deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. Ah, but then you it's time for them to go. But I will still be here. I have no thought of leaving. I do not count the time. Or who knows where the time goes? Who knows where the time goes. And I am not alone when my love is near me, and I know it will be so until it's time to go. So come the storms of winter, and then the birds in spring again. I have no fear of time. Or who knows where the time goes? Who knows where the time goes?
You know, you should really think about singing professionally.
Oh, thank you.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you, I can't thank you enough. Anne Savoie, you've just been phenomenal. Thank you for coming down to these extraordinary studios, KRVS, here in Lafayette.
Thank you, Gwen. I've just loved talking to you so much. Thanks a lot for having me.
Been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Garrett Pittman, Jason Rhine, and Margaret Howes. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. Special thanks this week go to Carl Fontenot and beautiful KRVS in Lafayette. For a complete list of songs from this hour, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax-deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.